Please welcome Honey French.
I keep thinking that I'm going to write it out so it'd be more organized, and I never do, so you're going to have to bear with me again. But my roughing it story is about when I first started working at the prison. And we were the very first women, and they didn't know anything about anything when we started. They didn't even have a uniform. And so they just told us the material and where to get it. And not knowing that I'm going to have huge 6-inch keys, 6 of them, and all these heavy things on my belt, I make my waistband real little with little tiny belt loops. And so I started off wrong there, and I didn't make pockets even. And so the men's shirt, we just bought men's shirt and tailored them to fit. So then after we got our uniforms, I actually worked 3 months before we went to the academy. And the academy was pretty rough. And there was no women's restroom, so we had to stand guard while we took showers. And then they thought it was fun to wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're supposed to be all dressed and stand at attention, then we go back to sleep. And then when we, I never saw a gun in my life until we started target shooting for real. And I had to learn on a Mini-06. And if any of you know about guns or rifles, those things are humongous. And the shell is huge. And they warn you, but when I fired it, even though you know it's going to be awful, I couldn't believe how bad that was. It was such a jolt. And I was prepared and really, what's that word when you're expecting a shot? So you dig yourself in. There's a word that I can't think of. But anyway, I was really ready for it. But even then, you almost fall. And I have to shoot how many more? 60 of those things. And it's huge. So, and I'm little. So I had to bring it up here, shoot it, and then I'm not big enough to load it. So I have to put it down and load it, or what do you call it when you load it, reload it, and then bring it back up. So it's like doing, that's exercise where you're like pull-ups and barbells. So I did all of that, and guess what? I was the best shot. I was an excellent marksman, and I don't know who was more stunned, the staff or me. And one lieutenant called me Eagle Eyes, and I was really good with the pistol, but I really liked the Target Mini 14 that they had many years later, and the women had it so much easier because they didn't have to learn on the 30-06. But I guess the good thing is I had to concentrate so hard because it would hurt so terribly bad if you didn't hold it in right. I mean, it would destroy your shoulder. So that's why I concentrated so hard. I think that's why I was so good. So anyway, I survived the academy. And oh, the rifle also, we had to qualify. And it was the worst torrential downpour. And they don't, I don't know why, I can't thinking of any words right now. They didn't dismiss it. They didn't postpone the date or anything. And it was like mud that we had to lie down on and stand up and kneel to shoot. And everything's wet and pouring down rain. And I thought, do I really want to do this? And then we had to go through, I can't even think of the name of the gas, and they dip it in the stink and put it under your eyes. And I was counting the people, hoping I'd be number 5, so because number 1, it gets the bad, fresh stick. And I was number 1, and oh, it just hurts, it burns, and you're crying. And I was feeling sorry for myself. But anyway, after the academy, then we started in towers and gatehouse. And then when I was in there 3 months, I think, I started the first building. And they started you out at night. And I was first woman in a building at night. And you hear these horrible, scary noises. And I'm alone with 600 inmates. And, no, excuse me, 300. There's 600 in a quad and 300 in my building. And I had to count them. And some would hide. And when I find them with a flashlight, this one guy would always be naked. And I didn't want to find him, but I had to count him. And then one man would howl, and it's a full moon. And but that horrible job became a joy later. But in the midnight watches, it wasn't fun the first time. And the sergeant was kind of, I could tell he was feeling sorry for me that he was going to leave me alone in that building. But actually, I just, you know, pretended I was really courageous when I wasn't. And the noises. See, at the end of the building, before I knew what it was, they have these wet mops from the tower, and they're at the end of one end of the building. And you'd hear these whap, whap. And then you hear creaks and groans, and you hear these inmates making weird noises sometimes. And you have to get up and count and see them and make sure everybody's safe. And I have to see living, breathing flesh. And you can tell if the officer before you is good, because he'll make sure that they sleep with their arm or elbow or some flesh showing. And you could tell when it's not a good officer before you, because they're all buried under this blanket with their earphones on, and they can't hear you. Because I go real quietly, and then louder, and then louder and louder until the whole tier is screaming and yelling at you, F bitch, and everything. And they're brave because they can't, you don't know which guy in which cell is yelling and screaming at you. But then afterward, I had a big change in my life, and I was daytime, and that's why I was there, because I had a traumatic childhood, and I wanted to help. I had compassion and understood what it was like to really hurt, and hurting people hurt people. And I was there to help them change. And I was there on my way to becoming a counselor. And I thought I'd achieve the goal faster. But I worked daytimes. I was right there with all the inmates. And I was surrounded by them. But I had opportunities to talk to them one-on-one. And it was such a joy to watch a man change. But the first time I was there in the daytime, this huge man was getting really angry. And you could just see the anger escalating. And I'm praying under my breath, and I was a brand new Christian at that point. When I first started there, I wasn't, and that's why it was really awful. It was horrible for the first year and a half. So anyway, so this man's anger was escalating. And I was praying how to diffuse the situation. I didn't want to ask for help, because I'm this brave female that's trying to prove, you know, we're as capable as a man. So he's getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And this bigger inmate came up, and he said, "Hey, you don't mess with Officer Honey. She walks with God." And the man went, "Oh," and disappeared. And that's when I knew I was protected. And after that, I had a lot of really joyous God-arranged appointments with these men. And I had the joy of that horrible job became a joy. And I stayed there for 26 years. And I watched God transform so many inmates' lives and a few staff. But the whole atmosphere of the changed in the first year. The men started acting like men instead of animals. And I know a lot of them have done very well on the outside. So that terrible job and roughing it was worth it. And I was, they wanted me to promote because I'm a double minority. I'm Asian and I'm female. So it would look good to Sacramento headquarters if I promoted. And the associate warden was really mad because I wouldn't take the test to be sergeant. And I knew if I was sergeant, which I was capable of being, they would have trained me to be a lieutenant. I could have made four times more money than I was making. But then I wouldn't be accessible to the inmates. And that's why I was there. So it was worth it.